I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen.
Hello, and welcome.
Welcome. It's a fair question.
Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. I am Vic Cohen, and it's always a fair question right here from Skid Row Studios in beautiful. It is, I would say, I'm going to go with the word beautiful. It's beautiful and stunning here tonight, the corner of 7th in Olive in downtown Los Angeles. If you haven't heard the show, the reason I call it It's a Fair Question is because on this show, there is no such thing as an unfair question. Everything is on the table. Then nothing goes too far. Nothing is ever too personal. And tonight, I have a guest who I am very excited about. I'm always excited about our guests, but I'm excited for many reasons. I think she's kind of like a new friend. It's weird. Like, certain people I like click with for me. I don't want to freak her out, but I'm new friends. There's certain people that just, I like their energy and I like their creativity. And this is one of them. And she was very generous to include me in a recent show she did. And I had a great time performing stand up and I had the good fortune to see her perform as well. And also see the show that she puts on. She's the producer. She's the creator. She's the host. She's everything. That's right. She is like, oh, and she brought me a gift. It's always a good idea. No one's brought me a gift who's been on this show.
No one ever?
No one.
Huh.
You're the very first.
It's my Jewish mother in me.
I love, really? You have a Jewish mother in you? Let's get that out.
Let me, 1 second.
Well, I am talking about a woman named Nicole Blaine. Hello, Nicole. Welcome.
Thanks, Vic.
Yeah, this is so cool. I really appreciate you being so open to coming down here. I know it's a drive coming downtown.
Oh, whatever. And it's me late. Out of the bedtime routine with the kids.
Okay. Well, you are a mother.
Yeah.
Two children.
Two of them.
That you know about.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That's the weird thing about being a woman. You know about all your women, your babies.
They came out of me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Unless you're completely unaware of your surroundings.
Right, yeah.
And your body.
That's for sure.
But that's one difference between being a man and a woman for sure. I don't know where I'm going with that. I loved your show. The name is called Virgin Sacrifice. Yes. And the show is just, it's just what you would imagine. A virgin comes out, a man who's never had sex, or a woman whose hymen is intact.
Correct.
That's important.
And then we sacrifice them.
Well, they do... The idea of a sacrifice, they make love and...
it's more of a gangbang. Like,
that's true.
I wouldn't say it's so gentle.
That's actually true at the end.
That,
yeah. And that was actually my favorite part, but I don't want to jump ahead.
That's true. We should go in order.
Yeah, we should what?
Go in order.
Yes, right. I agree. Yeah. But yeah, it was really incredible. I mean, you were so gentle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I take it slow.
You did.
I do.
You let it last the full hour and a half.
I do.
And I thought that was fantastic.
I time it. I'm a producer, so I'm very strict about the timing.
You were. You were really right on it, and it never felt rushed.
Right.
Even though we all knew we had to be done at a certain time.
There's a clock ticking.
There was. Yeah, it was really good. It's actually a comedy show. It'd be so much cooler. This interview would be so much better.
It would go a whole nother way.
I would love that, too. Yeah. That's a different show.
Yeah.
But your show was awesome. And the idea behind it is virgin sacrifice, meaning that someone who's never performed stand-up comedy is going to come out and do it for the very first time in front of a live audience of about 90 to 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the night I went, mm-hmm. there were about maybe six other comics and myself and Nicole. And Nicole has the, it was funny, I don't like going early, like first or even second, because...
It's
you know,
the bullet spot. Nobody wants to go
It's never fun.
First.
So I said
so
to Nicole,
hard.
And I was like, I was contemplating, because like, I'm a guest. She's never even, you know, she doesn't really know me. I mean, she knew me through a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I should probably say, I want to say something, but I don't want to be one of those pain in the ass kind of comics.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say something, because maybe there's someone else who really wants to go early.
And sometimes that it's awesome, because some of them do. They have another thing that they need to get to. They're like, do you mind if I go first? I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah,
thank you. So everyone in this room loves that you wanted to go first.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, you know, just getting to know Nicole that night, I didn't know, like, you know, how she'd respond, but I figured I would ask because it's always better. And it's odd as a grown man, I'd be scared, but I was like, uncomfortable.
I have the same feeling, you know, when I'm in other people's shows. I don't want to, you know, piss them off, or they're stressed out, they're doing what they're doing.
There's enough going on.
There is.
I said to Nicole, I said, you know, if you don't mind, I'd really, if possible, could I not go first? And then she said, I'm going first. I'm the host. It's a good staple answer, and it's the truth.
It is true.
And you had to go first.
That's right. I go, everyone, you know, that goes after me, I'm like, it just, you're all lucky because I'm taking the fucking bullet.
Yeah, you were. And I must say, the lineup she had the night I was there was incredible. I mean, not that I need to say that, because like I said, I was in the lineup.
Yeah.
But we had, there were some awesome comics.
I say this probably every time, but I think it every time. It was like my best night.
It was great.
And I think that about every future show. I'm like, oh my God, this lineup is amazing.
Right. And hopefully with this show that I'm doing with you here, in future things you do, you know, the word will get out even more and more.
I hope so.
So the show I did was your 9th, is that correct?
8th.
8th. Okay, so you have a 9th one coming up next month.
Yeah.
And you have them every month.
I have them every month.
Okay. And right away, I want, if people do want to see this, I mean, the point of having Nicole here is not to necessarily promote her show. It's really because I wanted to get to know Nicole, and this is such a great place to do it. But if people do want to see the show, how do they get tickets?
West Side Comedy Theater. If you just Google West Side Comedy Theater, it's in Santa Monica. It's off the 3rd Street Promenade. And you can just go to their calendar and you'll see Virgin Sacrifice. The poster is obvious. You'll know when you're seeing it, which one is the Virgin Sacrifice poster. But it's always the first Thursday of the month.
Except when I'm doing it.
Except for when you were
doing
it.
Which was last Sunday.
Which was a Sunday.
Our first Sunday.
And except for this next one, which is March 5th, because I'm going to New York the next day. So I didn't want to like have a guest host and have the show exist without me.
I agree.
It was weird because my husband was like, just let it go.
No, it's your show.
It's my baby.
I agree with you.
It's weird.
Especially early on.
Especially early on.
You need to learn my... This is called Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question.
It's true.
I have to be here.
You do have to be here.
You know, it's your personality. You're booking it and you're putting your
brand.
Spin on it. The brand, the feeling in the room.
Which is a weird businessy way to think about it. But it's more that I'm just obsessed with it and I love doing it. And I kind of just felt like sad that I was going to be far away.
No, I think you were right. That's a great move.
So yes. The next one that's coming up is March 5th, which is a Wednesday. But after that, it goes back to the first Thursdays.
Okay, great. Yeah. Now, one of the things, I had a friend of mine who is a female. She was in the audience. And we were talking about the show and the different comics and the whole night. And she did really respond a lot to your set. Wow. And she particularly loved you're talking about your vagina.
Yeah.
Now, I loved that too.
Who doesn't love talking about vaginas?
I do. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the vagina.
Absolutely.
I love everything the vagina does.
I'll be honest
with
you.
I'm serious.
But I agree with that, except tonight, just tonight, I had to tell my daughter, no more vagina. That is too much vagina. there's certain points.
What was the context of that?
That sounds really strange.
Because I'm almost ready to report you to Children's Protective Services of some sort.
Don't think it hasn't been done before.
You reported yourself.
Yeah, I'm concerned for me.
It's on speed dial.
It is.
Oh, you're talking about you're the one being abused by
I
them.
Yeah.
That's
well,
a
and
great
I do
take.
I do a whole set on the fact that I'm in an abusive relationship with her.
That's
because
funny.
That is what it feels like. You know, I have bite marks. I'm punched. I'm, you know, I'm told.
You should be on the S&M show.
I'm in the wrong
hour. We have, yeah. Now, you have two children?
Two.
A girl and a boy?
See.
And how old?
My daughter is about to turn 6 and my son is 2.5.
You know, I love it how you're like a kid because only kids talk about what they're about to be.
Oh, that's so true. She's like, grilled it into me.
I just said, I'm just like, how old are your kids? I'm about to be, at least you didn't hold up your fingers.
Seriously. Well, because they actually always want to be older.
I know.
It was really funny.
And then you go, I was 30.
I was
34.
Exactly. We were at a store recently and I was buying a can of paint.
Okay.
And it was one of those like, I take forever to do things. And so I need to see samples. And
but when you do them, they're going to be perfect.
They're going to be
right?
Fucking perfect. Yeah. Because I really do it. And it was buying paint for my daughter's room.
Okay.
And so I had to bring her because I felt like I want her to really
what
like,
is her
love
name?
It. Tegan.
Tegan.
Have you ever heard of the band Tegan and Sarah?
I haven't.
Oh, God. They're so
sorry. Funny. What's the boy's name?
Finley.
What band is that?
Yeah, right. My husband named both the children.
Really? Wow. I'm surprised. A controlling producer woman like you gave up the reins on the names?
I felt like I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't come up with anything like better. So I was like, you win. Whatever.
Do you hold that over him? Like you get to make all other decisions for the rest of their lives because they made the name. He got to pick the name. How long you been married?
11 years.
And your husband is really a great guy. I mean, you know, from the time I got to spend with him, he's creative and...
Well, he is technically my producing partner.
Okay.
I do it mainly alone.
And your reproducing partner.
And my he is in every shape technically. And form. And yes, that's good. Quick. But yeah, I don't do anything without him. And so we've always been producing stuff together. So even though I'm the stand-up and he's not a stand-up, but he really... helps with everything possible.
Well, that's great. It's
Anyways,
important to have that.
So we were at the paint store.
Yes. He and you and Tiger.
Tegan. Me and Tiger.
I'm trying here.
No, it's funny. My parents, when I was pregnant with her, they were like, I'm sorry, what's the name? Is that a wood? I don't know. They couldn't say it.
It's a tough one.
It's a weird one. You know who can't say it?
Your husband?
Mexicans. All of them.
That's all of them. There's
all
not
of them.
One.
They can't get it. There is some combination of letters and they always look at me like, they can't.
Was that planned?
yeah, I just don't want her to have any Mexican
Is that what
friends.
Your husband was up to?
Yeah.
See, when you let him keep him in charge, that's let him is. Give him the reins, what happens? So there's Tegan and what was the other?
Finley.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we're at the paint store.
You and Tegan.
Me and Tegan. We're at the paint
daughter.
Store. The daughter. And it's taking forever to, this is not even a good story. But
it better be.
It's horrible.
Let's make something up.
No, I know, now I better do something. But of course, finally at the end of it, I apologize to the lady helping. And I'm like, I'm really sorry that I took so long. Thank you so much. And she goes, oh, that's no problem. And she turns to my daughter and she was like, so this paint is for you? And she says, yeah. She goes, how old are you? She says, 7. And I was like, that's a really weird lie. Like, I don't even know why she'd do that. And I was like, why are you lying? And she was like, stop it. And I was like, stop what? And she was like, don't treat me like that. You're just my nanny. And it was
You got to be kidding.
No. And it was out of nowhere.
She's how old for real?
5. She's 5.
She was
5.
Turning you into the nanny?
Yeah.
Wow. What was that about?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm like literally in an abusive relationship. And the lady's looking at me like, I'm your mom. She's like, yeah, okay, lady.
That's
like,
really
it got weird.
You know, that's really funny. And now I'm wondering maybe you are the nanny. Like maybe you're the one who's delusional.
No kidding.
And the other thing about that is what comes off as a cute story cut to, you know, 10 or 15 years from now when you find out that little Tegan was schizophrenic.
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh, maybe that wasn't so funny. She really did think
I should have known. Listen, I know she came out of that vagina. You heard my vagina story.
Yeah, let's talk about your vagina.
Sure. We can like that.
The thing I remember, you were quite descriptive about how your kids blew your vagina out.
Yeah, they did.
Essentially, through their exit.
Yep.
So what happened? I mean, isn't that what happens with all women, or it does, no one talks about it?
I think I had a pretty traumatic one. It's, you know, I've had a lot of friends who just have a baby and walk it off. They do.
Walk it off.
They do.
Walk it off.
They
Come on.
Pop right up, you know, maybe get a little stitch. No big deal.
Those are the doctor. Those are the people with no health insurance. The doctor's like, walk it off.
You have no choice. Right. But I was at Cedars, you know, you want to stay for that.
Name dropping.
Right.
Isn't that funny if people were name dropping their hospitals?
Cedars. I had the best OBGYN, Dr. Connie Chen. I will totally.
Connie Chung?
Chen.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
Chen. I'm not great with names, clearly.
Chen. C-H-E-I-N. Anyways, Tegan was stuck facing to the left. And
in your vagina.
In my, during labor, when she like came down into the canal.
Uh-huh. And they These are not the Venice canals.
Correct. Not the Venice canals.
I just want to be clear in case someone's not paying attention.
Not as wide.
Okay. These would be the Nicole canals.
The Nicole canals.
Okay.
And she was stuck facing to the left, and they need to be facing a certain direction in order to get out. And so she was crammed in there for like an hour or so. So they took 2 nurses. One pushed my stomach one way. One pushed the stomach the other way. And during each contraction, that still didn't get her to twerk. So then they had to take... So that was when they did 2 episiotomies.
Oh, I thought you'd only do one.
Right. Well, when it's this bad, then you can cut up and you can cut down. And then they took a vacuum, which is like a giant suction cup, which is a lot bigger than 10 centimeters. And they put that in your vagina. And then I just ripped in every direction.
Oh, is there a lot of blood?
I wasn't watching.
There's a drape, right?
No.
Like you're not able to really see
No drape.
What's
I don't. I think my eyes were closed.
Were you in pain or were you numbed up?
I was numbed up and in pain.
Do you video of this?
You want to know the video story?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the video. Because for some odd reason.
Can I see it?
You could. I'm going to tell you why you could see it. I was obsessed with getting this on video. And my and Dr.
I would be too.
I just wanted to know. Like, I was like, I know I'm not going to be fully able to see that view. Yeah. And like, I'd want to maybe later.
Sure.
So I tell my doctor I want to videotape it. And she says, I'm superstitious. You can't videotape it.
Oh.
She goes, handheld. You can set it up with like a video camera on the side and get a side view of it. But every single time I've ever had a dad or a partner who's videotaping it, it ends up going into emergency C-section. She says, it's bad luck to videotape
it. Well, you would have been better off with the C-section.
No fucking kidding.
So now with this baby, do you find that Tegan now at five mm-hmm. has a hard time getting caught in tight places as a five-year-old?
Yeah, she's very claustrophobic, but just on the left side.
Is she always looking to the left?
Yeah.
And you're like, come on.
Yeah. So
yeah.
What ended up happening was they did this whole thing. He sets the camera up to the side, right?
Your husband.
My husband.
Okay.
Mickey. Mm-hmm. Gets the camera set up. We do this whole thing. It's, you know, she's stuck. They have to get the big suction cup. I rip to pieces.
What was the suction cup for, actually? For your pleasure? Probably
yeah,
not.
Right, exactly. It cups on the kid's head and literally sucks that because she's okay. stuck, they used it to turn her head so that it could go in the right direction to get out.
Wow.
I mean, I was obliterated. She had to do 45 minutes of stitches afterwards.
Of your vagina.
Uh-huh.
I just, by the way, anyone who's into drinking games, take a shot every time I say your vagina.
Yeah.
And so far,
they'll
I think right now you're up to about seven or eight.
And the thing is, this doesn't sound like a funny story, but and here's what's interesting.
It's great on stage.
Because it's much better on
and the
stage.
Ladies, the women, she's like, this girl that I'm friends with, she's like, oh my God, how that was, I've never heard anyone be so honest.
Yeah.
Honesty is important.
It is.
You know, I was kind of turned on. Anything with the word vagina in it turns me on. It really does, even if it's like a tragic thing.
But it was a tragic thing.
Yeah, I still got turned on.
Thank you. It did get pieced together really well.
Did you have to go to a plastic surgeon?
No.
No.
You would not believe how well that thing snaps back together.
Really? Botox in the lips or
right,
the beach, Venice Beach?
You know, people do that stuff.
I know. Oh, with their vagina?
Yeah. I know doctors who do that.
See, the thing for me is what I don't understand. I'm going to share a little something with you, Nicole, and everyone, all of you listening, and those of you not listening. I'm going to share this with you too. I like a vagina with lots of lippage.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get when people like get them trimmed or tucked. To me, it's like there's more to chew on, like chicken.
I just feel like it's kind of like pizza, like it's all pretty good, you know? No matter how bad, it's still pizza's pizza.
Well, I always said my favorite part of a woman is the crust. So it's like pizza.
Yeah, I like that.
You think the vagina is like a pizza?
I'll eat any kind of pizza, like even microwave pizza.
That's true, actually. I would. And yes. And the great thing about vagina is you don't have to microwave it to eat it.
No, it's
available everywhere.
Yeah.
Anytime. It's like ready serve. All right. So getting back to your vagina.
Yeah.
Drink. So you said that you, now you had a second child. So that was the first child.
That was the first child.
Everything snapped together, as you said. What happened in the second child?
Oh, so in my stand-up routine, I do combine both.
Into one big story?
Into one big story, mm-hmm. yeah. Because so what happened with that was I was obliterated. She put me back together and it was a horrible recovery, but I recovered. With the second kid, he came out so far. And by the way, I had two huge babies. My first, Tegan, was 9 pounds and Finley was 8 pounds. Those are pretty big people.
That seems big.
Those are
because you're small. Just to describe, Nicole, if you're not watching via video... She's about five. Mm-hmm. She weighs, and I know that's not sensitive to talk about a woman's weight, but she weighs about 110.
I wish. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, she's somewhat petite, but athletic.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on. So 9 pounds would be a big.
It's a big baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it ruins you. But the second time, the doctor, I hope she's not listening after I just said her name.
She might be. We do get a lot of OBGYNs.
Do you really?
Yeah,
that's
our biggest.
Following.
Yeah, it
is
really
your market,
is
OBGYNs.
Yeah, pretty much.
She, by accident, sewed my lips together.
No way.
No, she really did.
And we're not talking about the lips in your mouth.
Nope. And I talk a lot. She got the wrong lips.
I think your husband said sew her lips.
Yeah.
And she got confused.
Wrong one, Doc. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean what you think I mean.
Like all the way?
I mean like six stitches. in a direction that
How do you put a tampon in that? Or
well, I just had a baby, so there was definitely no tampon.
I don't know. See, that's a guy question.
See, here's also what you don't know before you have a baby, when you do have a baby, whether you have a C-section or a regular vaginal delivery, you're going to bleed out for 2 to 6 weeks. Because all that stuff is just like slowly.
I still find that a turn on.
God, you really love vaginas.
I love vagina. Seriously, I thought maybe that would push me over when I, but no, it's, I just love what it does. It's so, it creates life.
I'm glad
so
you feel that
way. Amazing.
Yeah, well, I wish I loved vaginas. I am a waist up lesbian.
You like breasts.
I love them. Oh. And I want to make out with girls. I missed my opportunity though.
That was the two shows ago here in the studio.
Really?
No, but, well, that's good. That sounds like a fun thing for your husband. Now, to fulfill.
Yeah, well, he
will. If you haven't.
I haven't. And so now I feel like at this point, like I need to do an acting job that just like lets me get that
right.
Well,
you know what? It's so funny you say that because earlier I was just working on a scene with two ladies making out about 3 minutes ago.
Really?
Actually.
And you want to rehearse it. That's what you're saying. You being the woman. Got it.
No. I would never do that. Although I do have a wig in the car. So,
she sewed me up a little incorrectly.
So how did you figure out it was wrong?
Well, this is interesting because not that I want to compare myself to being like a POW.
Right.
But this is a form of torture. If you are sewing body parts to other body parts that aren't.
It's wrong. How did she do it by accident? How do you do that by accident?
I mean, God, I had her up since like the middle of the night. You know, like she's got to be tired. She's been there for hours.
How do you figure it out?
How did I discover something was wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So I go home and you're in immense pain and you're given a rubber glove,
okay.
And they pack it full of ice and you just put it on your vagina.
Okay.
That's another drink.
Drink.
Yeah. And you put it on the vagina for days until the pain is supposed to go away.
And it didn't go away.
But like this is the other thing people should always know in case you're about to have a baby. Don't look at it. Because even if it's all done correctly, like
why does it give you dirty looks?
It's winking at you.
That's
I made the big mistake. I took a compact mirror after Tegan and I looked and it just looked like a bunch of rubber balloons sewn and puffy and like like a clown makes a bad.
Didn't work. It was a bad poodle.
Right. A bad poodle. That was exactly what it looked like. And then that goes away. But so after
thank God,
I felt like the pain wasn't subsiding and I started to slowly lose my mind. And
after how many days?
On day 8. Okay. And I was like, I started to talk into, like I literally was making no sense. And I started crying all the time.
You could have maybe died.
No, I know. This is really serious. Like, funny that I did stand up on it. It was crazy.
When you talk about it, does your vagina hurt right now?
It does. Like it starts to like have PTS in my pants.
PTSV?
Yes. PTSV is happening right now. And this is, I was against this too. My husband outvoted me and made us as a team get my son circumcised, which I was against.
Okay.
That's another topic.
So
but anyway.
So you had him circumcised as a team?
So he outvoted me. He said that my
husband. Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Before you get to the circumcision, if we're done.
This is about to explain how I discovered it.
In the Jewish tradition, 8 days later, the boy gets circumcised, where it's usually a ceremony in a house. There's someone called a moyel. He comes over.
Which I didn't do any of this.
Okay.
Because I'm not that Jewish.
Or you could do it in a hospital.
Right.
Or a urologist could do it.
Correct. But typically, even the OBGYN does it.
Okay.
Nowadays. So the OBGYN did his circumcision in the hospital, which I was against. Another story. Anyways, something went wrong with it and he started bleeding and I freaked. So I was ignoring all of my pain, but I was freaked out about him. So I took him back to the OBGYN on day 8 and I walked in and I was like, hey, so while I'm here, because she was like, yeah, he's fine. Look, let me just clean up the blood. He's good to go. And I was like, well, do you mind if I just show you real quick something that's going on down there? And she's like, yeah, okay, you'll be fine. You know, whatever. You know, because they always think that you're ridiculous.
It's Mother's Sunday at the OBGYN.
Isn't that sweet? So I hop
You're
up
one
on
of those people who like works in an extra prop. You know, I was just wondering while I'm here. I love you. I'm kind of like that, actually.
I
know I have a cough, but there's this thing on my ball sack. Can you just take a look?
Just real quick.
Just be a minute.
Yeah. So I hop up on the table and she looked
and
at it.
I bet you did hop.
Oh boy. But literally, I feel like it was one of those moments when a doctor looks at it and goes, And really? You're like, what's wrong?
But in Chinese.
In Chinese. Which is totally different, yeah. And so then she just got out of scissors and she snipped about 6 extra stitches out. And it was instant relief.
But how do you know it was the, like, did she say, I'm so sorry?
Yeah. But you have to be, she has to be careful
because she doesn't want to get sued.
So she kind of gave me an I'm sorry look. Like, I really feel like she was speaking in code. And it was, do not sue me. Here's your vagina. We cool? And I was like, yeah.
Are your lips slanted? From the stitches?
Yes.
That's horrible. That sounds like a racist joke. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
It kind of felt like it was, but I was just going for the joke.
So
it was, all right, go
it was
on.
Worth it. It all recovered okay. After
I
that
love
moment,
Asian people,
I was fine. I love
it. Was just
I was going to marry an Asian.
Oh.
I don't have one in mind. I just mean, theoretically, just I just wanted to have like a half Asian baby.
Oh.
Or okay. Like a half black baby. I just wanted not white
too.
Babies.
Yeah. I want to, you know, I'm getting older, but I still want to have a baby.
And not a white one.
I want anyone. You know, I told my dad.
I'll give you one of mine.
Oh, that would love that.
Whichever one you want. They're on eBay.
eBaby. Yeah. Oh. It's funny. I've always, we'll talk about it later. I said to my dad, I go, you know, I do this joke in my stand-up. I go, like, I really wanted to have a baby. He's like, well, you're getting old. You better save your sperm, you know? And I said, don't worry, Dad. I know exactly where my sperm is. And it's all over my apartment. It's on the walls. It's
funny.
It's everywhere. Now, speaking of virgins, this is a very exciting show because you've arranged to bring in someone who will be deflowered.
Mm-hmm.
In the upcoming month, mm-hmm. and someone who was deflowered
mm-hmm.
2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to bring them in just one moment.
Okay.
They're waiting outside in our beautiful lobby. I want to ask you this. This is called It's a Fair Question.
Okay.
When we talked, you said that, and speaking of virgins, you dated your high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that term, but that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
How young were you guys when you met? And Mickey?
I was in 8th grade.
Okay, so I'm assuming you were a virgin, unless, God forbid, there were some things we shouldn't be talking about.
No, yeah. I met him in 8th grade,
okay.
But he was dating one of my best friends who was a year older than me.
Okay.
So he was at Santa Monica High School. He was a junior, okay, and I was in 8th grade at the local middle school.
So he's a few years older than you.
Right, he's 3 years older than me. And she was dating him because she had started high school because she was a year older. And I remember she was like, oh, come see me in this play. I'm in it and he's in it and he's my boyfriend. He's really cool. And I went to the play and it was Grease. He was Kanicki at Santa Monica High School. And I saw him up on stage and it was the most beautiful person I ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And I remember this. I remember where I was sitting in the theater and the play let
where
out.
Where were you sitting? I'm curious.
Honestly, yeah. I was in the third row on the left, about 3 or 4 seats in. I completely remember it.
You know what? I just realized you'd be a great person to go shopping with because you'd always remember where the car's parked.
Absolutely not. I have no sense of direction.
Okay, but that was a big moment.
It was just, yeah.
Seminal moment.
It was interesting because I never would have thought, if someone had said to me, you know, years before, like, you're going to marry that guy, I'd have been like, there's no way. He would never go for me. And he wouldn't.
Oh, because you thought he was so hot.
He was, and I wasn't.
Were you a theater geek or something? Because usually women or young girls mm-hmm. don't look at a guy doing a musical.
And think that's hot.
Right. That's
yeah. I also dated a cheerleader, a male cheerleader.
Oh, okay. For a moment, I was thinking, why didn't you kiss her?
Yeah, right, No. So here's the thing. So he's gorgeous. And yes, I was a theater geek.
Was Kanicki
like
the best friend?
He was the cool one. He wasn't, you know, he was like.
He wasn't John Travolta.
Not John Travolta.
Okay.
The rough guy who just recently died.
I think. Everyone dies. It's sad. I hate that.
So anyways, after the show, I remember my friend was like, oh yeah, so this is my like friend. She's younger, whatever. And I remember shaking his hand in front of Barnum Hall. And I remember feeling his hand.
In Santa Monica at the high school.
I remember where I was standing and I was like, he's phenomenal.
Really?
So the next year I went to school there. I was a freshman. He was a senior. And I was like, I have to do theater, which I had been doing for years anyways. But I was like, I just want to be near this guy.
Wow.
And then the spring musical that year was Wizard of Oz. He was the Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not to brag, but, you know, I got cast as the coroner. I pronounced the witch legally dead. It was like a big deal. I was on my knees the whole show.
Hello.
So I fell for him then, but I was really, really prepubescent. I didn't get my period till I was 16. So he did not go for me. So I did date his best friend for 4 years, the male cheerleader.
4 years.
4 years. So I went out with the male cheerleader, and that's who I lost my virginity to.
Okay.
So
wow. You know what? I'm so relieved for you.
That I had a person?
Yeah, that it wasn't your... I feel, maybe it's because it's just a guy thing, but I feel like it's really important to have experiences.
And then in college, and then I didn't... Okay, so then I went away to UC Davis, and I did sleep with one guy my freshman year.
You're a whore.
I was totally a whore, and he's gay. So I feel like I really... I had really,
really
good experiences.
As if the cheerleader you screwed in high school wasn't
gay enough. God damn, that was good. That's true. So I've only been with gay men with and my husband.
Right, which makes me think I know what Mickey's doing about now. He's probably at a truck stop off the 605.
Oh, damn it. So, yeah.
You think he's babysitting.
He's babysitting.
So you've had three lovers.
I've had three lovers.
Okay, now, and I assume Mickey, being an older man, he's had some experiences.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
not
good.
Much, but okay.
We'll let him talk for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm just so relieved for you.
That I've had other bad experiences.
Just experiences.
They were bad, by the way.
Well, even better then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, when you're making love to gay men.
That's what
it's
happens.
It's not going to usually be good. When they say, Nicole, pretend you have a penis, that generally is bad.
It did get weird. I'm going to be honest with you. The first guy that I dated.
Yeah.
He put a lot of peanut butter on his penis.
Oh my God. Crunchy or smooth?
Smooth. The dog likes smooth.
Oh.
This is a dog thing. This is how fucked up that guy was that I was with for 4 years.
And he made that part of your lovemaking experience with
him. I wasn't there, but what was weird is they told me about it and I didn't break up with him.
Oh.
Like, that's concerning.
Right. Did you have a peanut butter allergy? Is that why you went to the dog?
Isn't that, I don't know. It's so
how old
weird.
Were you when you heard that?
I was in high school.
That's like, that's bestiality. That's technically bestiality, right?
I just think he was really like a sex addict. And all, he had a penis pump.
Oh my God, like at that age?
At that age. Well, he was 3 years older than me too.
I don't care. That's still...
Isn't that weird? Yeah, something's wrong with him.
Oh yeah. Well, it depends. What kind of dog was it? What was the breed?
German Shepherd.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah.
Actually, I draw the line. I've done some, I mean, as a kid, I masturbated and I stuck my penis in everything.
But not in a dog's mouth with a can of peanut butter?
Never.
Okay.
No, the weirdest thing I got was I masturbated in ketchup, eggs, and a raw chicken breast.
You fit into a ketchup?
No, not in the actual jar.
That just means it's such a small little hole. How old were you?
I was 35. No. No, I was like in elementary school. I mean, I was an anxious kid, and the only way I could soothe myself without doing drugs, because I was afraid of dying, because mm-hmm. I was so neurotic, would be to masturbate.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I said this last show, it's becoming a theme, I know that no one ever was found dead with their dick in their hand.
It's true.
It's never happened.
It's true.
So I looked really safe. So I was so horny, and I was so scared to like approach women or girls.
Yeah.
Because when I was looking at all the porn in the magazines, to me, that would be like going to the Smithsonian and looking at the Constitution. I'm never going to touch it.
Right.
I can look at it.
Right.
And appreciate it. But I was always curious what the vagina felt like and what it would, so first I was making love to Charmin rolls.
Oh, I thought that was the name of like a black woman. I was like, that's sexy.
I tried to have sex with the cleaning lady. She quit that day. But I didn't do it in an obvious way.
No.
I did it in a way that was actually very clever and it was non-abusive or anything wrong. What I did was I cleverly left the door about a half inch open in my bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And I waited. I made sure everyone was gone. Uh-huh. They'd all gone grocery shopping. It was just me.
You're like a kid at this point.
Yeah, I was young. I was high school.
Okay.
And my idea, this is how my thinking was. Okay, mom and dad are gone. Two brothers are out. She's going to go into my room. I leave the door a little open. I am lying on my bed face down, bare-assed, teenager, imagining in my fantasy that she's going to open the door. She's going to be so...
Want you.
And she's going to be like, look at that teenage ass.
I need it.
I got to have it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll never forget. I'm hearing her heavy breathing because she was a big woman.
Yeah.
Eastern European.
It wasn't excitement.
A lot
heavy
of silver.
Breathing.
No, it was her walking up the stairs carrying a vacuum and a bucket.
Right.
A big vacuum and a big bucket. And she did make it right to my room. And I remember my heart pounding. And, this could be it.
This
right?
is so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Wow.
And... What, that I'm sharing it? Or does that happen?
That you did this and that you're sharing this.
Yeah. And so she opened, I'm like, and I'm fully aroused, I'm sure, but I'm lying on myself. There's nothing.
Right. She would only saw your tushy.
Right. And to me, that wasn't like anything big. I mean, it was, I had a nice ass, I will say that. But anyways, I'm thinking I did. Mm-hmm. I kept pretty good shape. But anyway, so she opens the door and I'm facing away because I'm imagining, you know, she may walk in and I'm hoping something at this point. And I'm so aroused, like this could be. And then she shut the door. And then later that day, she was speaking in Polish to my parents, explaining that she quit.
Do you think she told them?
Well, I think it was either that's why she quit, or it's because she had asked me to clean my room, and I was so annoyed that the cleaning lady was asking. This is really obnoxious. I was obnoxious that day because I was telling my brother, this is bullshit. She's the cleaning lady, and I got to clean my... I'm cleaning my room when she's the cleaning person?
Spoiled rotten child.
Right, horrible. Mm-hmm. And horrible. I really wasn't, but that was a bad moment.
It was a bad moment.
And I wasn't rude to her, but she probably heard that. And that is rude to her. And yeah. I wouldn't be like that now. But anyways, now I feel bad.
No,
I'm sorry,
feel bad.
Mariska.
But you know what? I think that that's a normal mentality for any, like, young person to have.
It was immature and whatever. Yeah, but so it could have... That's my out.
Yeah.
To think that it wasn't my ass... Because I don't know, like, I mean...
I think she may have left because of your ass. You think, not that it's a bad ass.
But it wasn't... I didn't say to her, let's make love. She never saw my penis.
Right.
I was facing away.
Yeah.
I had my ass partially covered even with a sheet. It wasn't, you know, I tried to be seductive in my pose.
Maybe she picked up on that.
You think?
Maybe.
I don't know.
You might have sexually assaulted your Polish
cleaning lady. I did not assault her. I don't like that word. You feel like it was assault?
No.
I didn't touch her.
No, I'm joking. No, but I think she probably quit because of it.
I don't know. But anyways, I don't know how we ended up there.
But
that was
really
high school. But anyways,
but I really liked that you shared that.
Yeah, and then I made love to raw chicken breast, thinking that that is what a vagina might feel like. And I wasn't off, actually, on that one.
That's probably pretty, but that just seems really like full of germs, and you could get like salmonella poisoning in your
maybe
urethra.
I might have been wearing a condom.
Oh, that would be really smart. That's a good Jewish boy.
Yeah.
You're such a good boy.
I have a hunch.
Yeah.
And I think the catch-up in subliminal, like in my unconscious, was it's like a period.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And moist.
Yeah. I don't know how my mom cooked. I mean, everything was under my bed. You know, I mean, I kept taking stuff. Honey. I tried barbecue sauce, which burns. You know, but the worst was the toilet paper roll because it chafes.
I was not experimental like that.
Yeah. I was just so, I don't know, I was very anxious. I told you I love the vagina. It's never ended.
I'm glad that...
Yeah, there's a chronicling right there.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I think it's healthy.
Thanks for helping me with that. Thanks for bringing that out of me. Now, we must bring in your guests.
Yeah.
They're your guests as well as mine.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys.
Come on in.
We've got Scott here. Scott is on deck, about to become deflowered. And we have a former...
Ted.
Ted, take a seat, sir. Put on those headsets and please make sure you talk right into the mic. No, right there. There should be, that should work for you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for bringing them.
I know. I love my virgin. I love all the ones I've had.
So, we've got Scott here who's about to go next month. Yep. How prepared are you for your big debut?
At the moment, I'm probably at 30% prepared. And that's for the writing process, and then probably like 10% emotionally prepared.
What do you do for a career?
I work at a production company. So I'm like an account director / producer kind of we do like digital projects and stuff like that.
What kind of stuff do you work on?
Like DVD extra content. Is like a big one of our.
You're very Hollywood, you know. Like someone somewhere else has no idea what extra means. DVD extra, I'm guessing. Let me guess if I'm right. This would be like blooper stuff or scenes that have been cut out of the film that are included as bonus material.
Yeah, that's
probably
part of it.
People do know what that means. But you didn't say film, but just that's what it is mostly, right? Feature stuff.
Yeah. So like TV shows will do the like little featurettes on.
Are you editing that material?
I'll hire editors to cut it for me.
So you're...
I mean, that sounds really cocky, but...
No, so you're kind of like a coordinator.
Yeah.
Okay. And that... So you really are in show business.
Yeah.
But it's more of the production side.
Yeah, the behind the scenes.
Completely behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Ted, how are you, sir?
I'm well, sir.
You performed 2 months ago?
I did.
You were deflowered?
I was.
I noticed
I bled.
You did? There was a lot of bleeding?
I did.
Did anyone hold you after
that? No one held me. I was very upset about that.
Now, how many minutes do they do when they're
the
virgins?
I tell them they have 3 to 5.
Okay.
And that they really need to cap it at 5. because as you know, as a stand-up, I think that we all want to like, you have a tendency to go long. And when you write that sort of stuff, I feel like if anyone were to say, now take the best stuff, you get down to five and it'll be the best.
Yeah, and you know, to do great 5 minutes.
It's not easy.
Tell us, what was that like? Now again, we're talking now, it is Ted talking to us, who's already been on stage and gone through the process.
It was
performed for, how many guests did you have too, by the way? Sorry.
Beg your pardon?
How many guests did you have?
Guests.
At your show? Oh. You had some people there, right?
I had some people. I had
we've sold out for months. So.
Yeah, I had a bunch of people from work. My only regret was not actually inviting my friend's friends. Because I didn't really know how it was going to go down.
How did it go down?
It was pretty fantastic. I mean, the 20 minutes before getting on stage was probably the hardest 20 minutes of since giving birth to my child 6 years ago. Was it
anything like Nicole's experience? Did your vagina blow out?
No, but my ass almost did. It was
from eating so much food,
nerves? My God, what the fuck am I doing?
How many kids do you have?
One and three quarters.
Okay. Why are you looking at Nicole? Did she have them?
actually, you know what?
That's a different show.
I want to tell you, this lady.
Yes.
Hardly know her.
Yes.
We're at our kindergarten get to know you picnic. She walks up to me and we knew each other from, you know, here and there. She's like, I'm collecting stories, you know, from fathers about their daughters and about their children. Could you just think of something funny? I want to get you on camera. I'm like, okay. So I go off to the corner of the picnic and I come back. I tell my little story and that's when she pops the question on camera.
Great.
There's just absolutely no way that you can say no. So that's how this whole crazy mess started.
Popping the question, meaning will you be a guest?
Will you come do it?
I don't even think I said will you be. I was like, so you're going to be my next virgin.
Yeah.
What did you see in Ted here that in your mind he'd have been a great
virgin?
He's
really funny. He's naturally like an incredibly quick, funny guy. And I feel like, and this is what I look for in all of my virgins, which is interesting because I think formulaically as a stand-up, what it takes to be a good one, I think number one is likability.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
These guys are likable.
And these guys
just looking
are,
at them.
Thank
they
you.
Are. They're very, they are. You want to hang out with them. And I do think that an audience has a perspective if they want to hang out with you for X amount of minutes. And so I'm attracted to those type of people. And so I know that they'll be good.
That's great. That's a great point. So now, what do you do for work normally?
Bartender.
Okay. Where do you bartend?
The Lobster in Santa Monica.
Oh, wow. The tip money must be amazing.
Yes, it's the golden handcuffs.
You know, you have the perfect stand-up comedy job.
It is.
I mean,
yeah, I've worked with a bunch of them. And there's no way I would do what you guys do for a living.
How many minutes did you do?
Four and something.
No, you
four
did
change.
Five. I think it was
five.
A strong five.
Felt like 3 seconds.
How much did Nicole help you with your material?
Very little. It was actually kind of frustrating. I think she really got off on it. Watching me just fucking
Nicole, do you meet with the comics and help them develop their material?
I offer anything.
I was so, I'd lost my mind at that point. There was really nothing she could do. You know, just like, if you've never written comedy before, you're sitting there trying to come up, whoa, what's funny?
What do you do for work?
I'm just pour drinks.
Oh, right, sorry. sorry, I just had a complete
No, it's all right.
So
I
what
was
do
a
you
musician
do for
back in the day.
I'm going to go with this.
I bang my wife.
Really? Okay.
She pays me.
But she's not a virgin either.
No, definitely.
So here's part of the process that
I do. Can I just ask you one thing?
Yeah.
That is your full-time job.
That is my full-time job.
I just want to clarify.
You know.
Okay.
You know.
Because a lot of people who do bartend have an arts type job and that affords them the flexibility.
I was once upon a time a musician and I've been on stage before. But this is that's what makes this so singularly terrifying. You get on stage with people who you've been working with for months, years at a time to do a show together.
Together.
You load equipment up, you argue, you yell, you scream. But this is, you literally get walked up onto the stage, pushed out by yourself, and then it's a free fall.
I interrupted you, and I apologize. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the process that I do with all my virgins after I find them. Is then I say, okay, so we'll go out to a show together and we'll watch a show.
Any show?
A stand-up show.
Okay.
So I take them out, which I just recently did with Scott the other day.
Where'd you guys go?
The Improv.
Oh, okay.
And it was great. And we got to see Brian Callen, which was nice because he had been in my show and now I finally got to watch.
He's a really funny guy.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Brian Callen's amazing.
I like his physical comedy.
That's why I think he's great. Anyways, so I say, I'll take you to a show and we'll talk shop. So then I give, you know, we just like, how do you form a joke? And they both have different questions. Like, Scott, you were asking me about transitions and like how to string kind of like something together. So we kind of talk shop on that. And then I set them free and I say, now you can share with me your material and I can help you with like any forming of it, or I never need to hear it. And Scott, I have a feeling he's running on his own. Whereas Ted came over to my house once a week for 6 weeks and we went over everything and rehearsed. And I and in all honesty, I kept saying, it's good. You're good to go. Like my job, I can't, there's not really anything for me to edit, in all honesty. It's their experience. They can say whatever they want. Like, I feel like I'm more moral support. I don't know what you're.
Is the idea that you encourage them to write about their own lives, at least as a starting point, or do you give them any kind of guideline as a suggestion?
Scott's the only one that hasn't asked any questions about that, but that is exactly what I tell all the other ones who have asked is, yeah, tell a story about your life, be vulnerable, be personal, and we'll all relate to it.
Okay, Ted, tell me about your, tell me your opening joke.
Oh,
get right on that mic. If you can get right on top of
that. I don't really remember.
I think you shitted me out. You were like, fuck Nicole.
She No. Actually, I got really touchy-feely. I didn't tell a joke at the beginning because I just wanted to just settle down. And it was kind of, I didn't really intend on doing it, but it just kind of happened. I just thanked her at the beginning.
You got
before
emotional?
Before I ripped into it. Not really emotional, but just like, hey, you know what? To ask somebody to do this, I felt honored. I hadn't felt the honor until I was on the stage and everyone was looking at me. And I was like, you know, this is freaking overwhelming. It's totally overwhelming. And I saw, I mean, I had to do the show. And by the way, my material was about my wife's vagina. To my daughter's kindergarten teacher and about 25 members of the class.
They say right what you know.
Yeah.
They say right what you know.
So I was overwhelmed with it. And so I didn't start with a joke. I went into, hey, you know, thanks, Nicole. In a world full of people trying to push us all apart, it's really nice every once in a while to have somebody trying to bring us all together. And she really does. I mean, she really got that whole room full of eclectic personalities, you know, parents from school, from my work, from her. Wherever the hell you find all these people.
So now, just to be clear here, you had a child that was in the same kindergarten class.
Yeah, we just met.
And you saw something in Ted that felt right for your show.
Yeah.
And then in that moment, you kind of tested him by asking him a question, and you're in your head, you're like, yes.
Oh, I already knew.
Oh, you already knew.
Yeah.
What was the point of the video? Was there you planning to use that?
It was an excuse. Yeah, actually, I am. I have been shooting the shows. Okay. And so I'm putting together a sizzle to pitch.
Okay, so that's what that was about.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, do you remember any of your specific jokes, Ted?
I told the story about how, I've always thought it's women dress for other women. I've always known that. Women just don't necessarily dress for men. But I did not know that actually extended to the nether regions. Like my wife, you know, she's pregnant. She's not keeping up down there, and that's totally fine with me. I'm down with another natural look. I'm cool with that.
70s were great.
We've had the bald pussies for so long. Let's bring back the big bush, right?
Right.
But we're going in for our first ultrasound, and my wife breaks out my beard trimmer, and I'm in the other room, and I hear my beard trimmer. I'm like, what the fuck is it? Why is my beard trimmer running? So I go around the corner, and there's my wife squatting over a trash can.
Oh, that's
just
classic.
Going, you know.
That's my girl. That's my lady. You can't love, you gotta love that.
That's hysterical that you would do that for your doctor. You're more,
right?
You know, conscious of your vagina hair with your doctor than with me. And in the process of doing this, she nicked herself quite badly.
Nice.
And I was just told the whole story.
That's why you got to go to Supercuts. Tell
you
her
really,
that.
You kind of
let the pros do that. Now, I noticed you're getting emotional. I felt, maybe I'm wrong, but noticed your eyes were kind of tearing up.
Well,
about the experience, particularly about thanking Nicole and the honor. Tell me what that's about. Why? What's the emotion about?
Comedy is a very strange thing to us people who don't do it. Like, and I've spent a lot of time around comedians as a bartender in, you know, Santa Monica, Hollywood. And you guys all seem to be very lonely people. And I never got it until I was standing there. And it's overwhelming when you get it, when you, that rush, that thing that you're looking for, that thing that you get. I felt it. People come to like listen and laugh. I've never been a performer in anything where people, I wasn't a musician. So people are like, you suck. They come thinking you suck. The first thing they want you to suck, because most of those people are musicians also, hoping that you're not better than them, which is exactly the opposite I felt in that show.
Yeah.
The people, you already have it set up for you because people are there to laugh. People want, I mean, obviously there's lots of dark, lonely, you know, open mics in this town where people are looking to do the same old rip you apart stuff. But this show is not like that at all. So it really is a celebration of comedy.
And I want to say, I love that you got all that, because that's been my goal with this. I was a psychology major in college, and I was like, I just want to make people happy. And then it kind of changed into with comedy, like, I just want to make them laugh. And when my husband came up with this idea of the show, and because I saw a person perform for the first time, and I watched that audience, they weren't even there for this guy. I was just there watching a regular show, and he said, this is my first time I got dared to do this. And the whole audience rallied for him. And I thought, and he and I were like, that's the show. Like, to give someone an opportunity to do something that they never were going to do.
Right.
You know, and that it's like something on a bucket list. My May virgin is 86 years old, and he's dying of cancer.
Oh.
And he has 1 year to live. And his daughter called me and said, I want to give him the gift of getting up on stage and making people laugh. And I thought, that'll be his last laugh. Yeah, May 1st.
Okay, well, I'll buy a ticket. Is that available right now?
Yeah, you can always
buy ahead.
You can always buy ahead. May 1st is going to be Jim Kofeld, and it's going to be his last laugh. And that's how I feel like I gave that gift to Ted. And it's not like me, like the audience does. And I help with promotions, and I say, this is what you have to do. And I know I want to hear about like how Scott's feeling about his show.
We're
going
to get to you in 1 second, because we will. Okay. But I'm still a little bit confused about the emotion. Is it about the fact that people are so loving in a room? Because it's, or is it literally just overwhelming the experience of being creative?
It's a mixture of a bunch of things. I had been a creative person for a very long time, and then you put it aside, you get on with life, and you know, I really don't have time to do much writing anymore. And all I did once she told me about that show was write, you know?
Yeah, tapped into the creative.
I wrote 3-4 different sets,
yeah,
you know, 30-40 pages, and scrapped it all 3 days before the show because my wife was like, you gotta tell the pussy story, just tell it. But like to have that, to work on something again, to bring people, to see my friends there and coworkers, to actually follow through with something like that, you know, because we all say to creative people, we say, you know, I really want to get this done. But then life gets in the way of the things you want to get done.
Yeah.
And this
no,
is
that's
something,
great.
This is something I really wanted to get done. I agreed to another creative person that I would do it. I followed through with it.
I'm tough on you, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm micromanaging. How you doing? How's it going?
Let's tell me, how many people you invited? You know, and like I said, we're over at our house every week working on it. And it felt like there were very few things in life you can look back on and say it was just so smooth and positive. And this is one of those moments.
Well, great. And it's really nice to see you move by like that. Yeah. Scott, how are you feeling?
Good. I'm now looking forward to the emotional roller coaster that this will be.
Yeah. What have you learned from this conversation?
I will probably cry at some point.
Really?
I mean, I never expected such a sort of positive emotional outcome from it. I mean, definitely, you know, comedy brings it out in its weird ways, but.
Well, what's nice about what Nicole's doing is it's a safe environment.
Yeah.
And the truth is, and you probably do know this, there are a lot of comedy venues where it is just as you did describe.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like a boxing ring. It's pretty
where
judgy.
Other people don't want to support. And so what you got to experience was the very best of the best of creativity.
Oh, it's a total setup. It's an artificial environment for the virgin because it's never going to be like that before or after.
Well, I mean, the other part of this.
But like the love and the support in the room to come together for like one person who's doing something they've never done. And most of them will never do either. Even though I've told bunches of people, you have to do this. You have to do this. They see how awesome it was, and they still can't get themselves.
How does that make you feel, Scott?
Fantastic.
I mean, you're going to have it. You really can't fail.
Right.
That's exactly what I say. It's a fail-safe environment.
Yeah. Now, you know where I think, and you'll probably agree with me. Mm. Please tell me if you agree with this. The way I think any performer can fail, and particularly in this situation, is by being too hard on yourself afterwards or during the set.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. You know? One of my virgins did that, and it made me want to cry. He's a really close friend of mine, and that is exactly what he went home, and he went, I didn't nail it, and I didn't say this, and I went, oh, Jason, you did. Like, you're fucking with yourself, and you're ruining the experience. Yeah, so that is amazing advice. Please enjoy the journey no matter what.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of, it doesn't, you know, comics, they will have a great set, mm-hmm. but because they decided they didn't, yep. while it's happening.
While it's happening.
The audience starts to believe, yeah. question their own, mm-hmm. they're like loving the set. And like I've seen it, you've probably seen this, where a comic will, I don't do this because I don't like this style because it just doesn't feel
fun. Where you turn on the audience?
Well, I'll never do that. Okay. I'll never turn on the audience. That's horrible. Or if jokes aren't working, I can say it in a fun way. Mm-hmm. But if I go...
Well, that didn't work.
Yeah. Boy, this is a tough night.
That's what I mean. It's like you turn on them. You're like, well, you guys didn't think it's funny because I'm sucking. And sorry that... Yeah, and it gets awkward and everyone's really uncomfortable for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yet but, I never want to draw attention to me bombing.
But yeah, right. And bombing is really just a term that is so subjective. I mean, to get out there... but let me ask you this, because we're really almost out of time. What's your first joke? Mm. And what's your closer?
Well, I mean, I just feel like, you know, 5 straight minutes of poop jokes will be fine.
Perfect.
I feel like that's a good...
I notice a trend. We got vagina, we got poop.
We're slowly working our way up.
What's the cancer guy going to be talking about? Pee?
I mean, yes, it is. It's cancer of his pee-pee.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh, there we go.
It all comes together so nice.
So if people want to see you, Scott, that would be next month. We are recording this in February, so that would be March what?
5th.
March 5th.
At 8 p.m.
Is it sold out yet? Because I know you sell out fast.
It's up to his friends.
Okay. But currently there are tickets available.
There are tickets
available.
For
anyone listening. Yeah. Okay, great. And anything else you'd like to share with us, Nicole, before we run? And where can people find you if they think they would be a good virgin for the show?
Yeah, I need virgins. I want to change more lives and give everyone this opportunity. I am on Facebook. You can go to Virgin Sacrifice on Facebook.
Virgin Sacrifice.
Virgin Sacrifice. Okay. And I do have a Twitter feed now that I'm going to start doing, and it's going to be Virgin Sac Show. Virgin Sac, S-A-C.
I'm like a ball sack. Got it.
Jesus
okay.
Virgin Sac Show. Okay. And so we're going to start tweeting because Scott's really hot girlfriend told me that I need to be
true
tweeting.
That.
But if someone thinks they would be a good virgin, they can find you on Facebook and just
Facebook.
Message you?
Nicole Blaine. Yeah.
Or through
the Virgin Sacrifice
Okay.
And page. Mm-hmm.
And it's Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E-B, as in Bob, L-A-I-N-E, .com,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and
that is my website.
And there's a way to contact you.
Yeah, or NicoleBlaineComedy.com. No, at Gmail. NicoleBlaineComedy@gmail.com.
Okay. I want to thank, before we go, Mindy, thank you for doing such a great job and staying late. I know
thank
you weren't
you.
Expecting to be engineering tonight, but you did a great job. And I want to thank both of you guys. Thanks for having the courage to do this, to do Nicole's show. And for coming out here and taking the time to drive all the way downtown. I know you came from far away.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having us, for sure.
So great. Santa Monica, far away.
I know.
So, Scott, thank you.
I looked at the wrong person.
Like I've got a bad vision prom.
And
Ted, thank you very much. And thank you, Nicole. I hope we can have you back and we'll do some more talking about some other stuff.
Absolutely.
You're so much fun. Maybe we'll bring Mickey and a girl for you to kiss.
Please make that happen.
And thank you for these cookies she got me.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Yeah, these great. I'm going to open them up right now.
They're pretty delicious.
All right. Well, thank you again, everyone. Join us soon, anytime, or right on iTunes or at the SkidRowStudios.com website. Again, it's been Vic Cohen here on Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. It is. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question.